Welcome to Mission Eyes with the Missions Guys, a podcast of the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, offering biblical and practical insight and strategies designed to equip and encourage missions leaders to carry on mission work. The goal is to fulfill the Great Commission from a church's local community to the ends of the earth. That is why we missionize. Now here are your hosts, the Missions Guys, Sam Roberts and Clint Ritchie.
Welcome to Mission Eyes. Thanks for joining us today. I am Clint Ritchie, and here today without Dr. Sam. He is recovering from a trip to the Dominican Republic, and so we've called in backup. Our guest today is Vince Blueball, the church planning team leader here at the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, and also known here as the King of Dad Jokes.
That's right.
So, Vince, welcome to Mission Eyes.
Thanks, buddy.
For
it's good to be
being here today. So, Vince, you've got a long history of church planning.
Yes, sir.
We think about your past. It's a pretty checkered past. We won't get into all of that. But
it does look like I can't hold down a job.
Yeah, well, it does. A U.S. veteran, so thank you for your service.
Thank you.
But, again, a long history of church planning. For folks that maybe haven't crossed paths with you or don't know your story, why don't you introduce yourself and let all Arkansas right. Baptists that are listening know.
Well, I'll be brief, but yeah, so 55 this year, been married to a beautiful woman named Candy for 33 years, and we have two sons. One of them is at Auburn because his wife is in pharmacy school there, so she likes to tease me that I'm an Auburn dad, which kind of makes me shiver a little bit. But no, yeah, so you mentioned church planning. My first experience in church planning was in 1977. My parents were very involved in church planning. At that time, we didn't call it that. They would help launch mission churches because we were living in Minnesota. And that's all I knew. Tear down, set up in a cafeteria at an elementary school in Minneapolis, Minnesota for years. And it just seems like, and you know, that was part of me. And I went to seminary. I'd gotten saved, got called to ministry. And I didn't know what church planning was. And I got frustrated and walked out of seminary because nothing fit. I couldn't figure it out. And I thought, man, I missed this bad. And I met a guy named Clyde Leonard, who's with Jesus now. He said, man, you're a church planner. And I didn't know what he was talking about. And that was in 1999. Next thing I know, in 2000, me and my wife are going through basic training at NAMM on floppy disks, if you remember floppy disks. And then we've done three church plants since then, and it's all I know. Awesome. So that's a little bit about me.
Yeah. Well, 1977, you're remembering my parents were thinking about getting married then. So
I was only nine.
There we go. Well, you talk about the tear set up and tear down church plants still doing that now, yeah. But there's the last 10, 15 years been more of an increased focus on church planting.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, NAMM says that 10,000 churches have been planted since 2010.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, I mean, even further, they say 23% of all SBC baptisms are happening in church plants,
yeah,
a result from the work of church plants. And didn't write that figure down, but what is it, by 2030, they believe that the most churches in the SBC will have been planted since 2010.
That's
so,
right.
I mean, just so you'll spread like wildfire in a sense. oftentimes, though, the person sitting in a pew in an established church are asking the question, why do we need all these new churches?
Yeah.
There's churches on every corner here in Arkansas. So let's begin to talk about this. Why is church planting important in our state?
Yeah, so let me give you an example. I'm a member at Indian Springs Baptist in Bryant. Matt Duran is my pastor. He's a great pastor, great church. If you drive by, you're going to say to yourself, that's an established church. Well, in the mid-70s, it was a church plant to reach that mobile home park that's by it.
Wow.
And church planting is necessary for three reasons. One, it's in the Bible. Okay?
Yeah.
Paul was, outside of Jesus, Paul was the ultimate church planter. I mean, he would travel to a town, go to the synagogue, engage people, gospel, raise up believers, establish leadership, and then he'd go off, but he'd still stay in touch with that church, and that's what he did. And so, two, is population growth. We can't, if you took every lost person in all of our communities, we don't have enough sanctuary space, not just Southern Baptist, but Nazarene, you know, any of our evangelical brothers. They may be a little different than us, but they preach the gospel. We don't have enough sanctuary space to hold all the lost people to reach, and so we need new churches. Number three, every church has a life cycle. It will die. None of the churches in the New Testament are still around. And so every church has a life cycle. The church won't die, but that expression, that local community of faith, at some point is going to transition and not be there, or not be there in its current form as a replant or something. And so just even to keep up with population growth, Arkansas grew by, I think, 40,000 people last year. I don't know, that may not be right, but they grew. And the country as a whole is growing, and we've got to plant churches to reach the population growth. Also, we have more people coming from different countries here, and they're not going to go to my church or your church because they're Swahili or Indian or whatever. And we've got to plant gospel churches for them. And so that's some of the reasons. In that, not just church planting, but replanting. If a church is at the end of its life cycle a little bit, there's still a little bit of life of that. There's a thing that we can do called replanting. And if you want to know more about that, you can reach out to me. I think a guy working with Greg Varndell, one of our associational missionaries here in Arkansas, is really helping me with replanting. And church planting are very similar. And then, of course, you have revitalization. I don't believe church planting is the only way to expand the kingdom at all. It's just what God's given me to do. There's other ways. But if we don't do them all, the church is going to cease to exist.
That's right. I mean, I think that's the key. It's all three. It's that's planning, right. It's exactly. Replanting, it's revitalization.
That's right.
And we'll talk a little bit more about replanting as we go through.
Yeah.
Again, last 10, 15 years, increased focus on church planning. I can remember as a kid, it was different, you know. So take 30 years ago, you'd hear so-and-so starting a new church. Oftentimes, that was because they got mad at their church.
Yeah.
And they thought, I'm going to go do church right. Or there was a true church split, and it led to a new church being started.
Usually called unity or friendship.
Yeah, or new something, you know. Yeah. But the church planting that we're talking about, that you focus on, it's different.
Yeah.
These plants that I see and constantly amazed are birthed out of prayer and a calling.
That's right, 100%.
So talk to us about how Arkansas Baptists plant churches. Because as we often say, the convention doesn't plant churches, churches plant churches.
Yes.
So how does that look?
So 30 years ago when I was first getting into it, I guess I should say professionally, for lack of a better word, not just attending but actually doing it, the mode would be we would go to a church. I'll pick on my sponsor church in Missouri, Second Baptist Church. It's a large church in Springfield, Missouri. We'd go to them, say we want to plant a church, and they would say, we'll help you, here's some money. And I would try to recruit 25, 30 believers to go with me, and we would just pop up in a community, and here's church. We've changed our philosophy over that. We believe that every vital work of God, legitimate work of the Lord, begins with extraordinary prayer. And we are focusing on that. And then we, through a process, identify either a people group or a section of a community that is underserved with churches. Maybe there's new subdivisions going in. There's no church within 5, 6, 7, 8 miles. That's just an example. Or there's a new people group in Arkansas, particularly in the Hispanics, and that's for real right now. We have 70,000 Hispanics living in the borders of Arkansas, and we are woefully behind on not just Southern Baptist, but gospel-preaching churches. So that's a people group we're targeting. And then what we do is we help train our guys with the assistance of the local church. Everything comes down to the local church. As you said, the convention does not plant churches. Local churches do. So what we do is we try to train our church planters through cohorts and other things to first saturate a community with the gospel, out of that create disciples, and then out of that process, a church can be birthed out of that. That's kind of the focus, and I think that's biblical. That's what Paul did. He went straight into a town, started sharing the gospel. As people got saved, he started discipling them, raised up leaders. They formed a church out of that, and off he'd go to do it again. And but in the old days, we had that reversed. We create a church, try to raise up disciples and saturate the community with the gospel. That's that. That's the wrong order. So we're trying to reverse that, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and you have talked about church planting in Scripture already. That was one of the commitments we had in starting this podcast, was for us to be biblically based. And when I think of church planting, again, I think of how the gospel spread in the early church. The disciples starting churches, going, you said, preaching the synagogue, building up leaders there, Paul leaving, staying in touch with these folks. The New Testament letters remind us that these churches weren't perfect.
Yeah.
Look, read 1st and 2nd Corinthians. But they were influencing the culture, and they were seeing people saved. There was an impact was happening. We know the Great Commission instructs us to make disciples of all nations or all peoples.
That's right.
And there are over your team, and Jamie and Airmore have identified over 130 different people groups represented in Arkansas.
That's right.
And as many as half of those are unreached or unengaged. So they're a lot of those, they've never heard the gospel. They're coming from places where the gospel is not available to them. As increasing numbers of international people groups come to study in Arkansas and work in Arkansas, we have the opportunity to fulfill the Great Commission by sharing the gospel here with them and then equipping them to do the same with their friends and their families and their home communities, their home countries. In Arkansas, your team says we worship in 11 different languages. So church planting, as I look at it, looking at your team, is impacting all peoples.
Yeah.
What does that look like specifically? How is that looking in our state?
It's amazing. We've launched the first Hindi church with Hillcrest here in Little Rock with Prene Bordet. He's had a great number of converts, and now they're pregnant, getting ready to launch. That's a huge win because, one, you're talking about a very tough people group who are predominantly Hindu, and you might see one or two conversions in 12 to 18 months, and God's blessed more than that to the point that they're ready to plant another church. And it's amazing. One of the things that's exciting, there's a guy who's a pastor down in the Delta named Chance Watson. He's over a Cowboy Church down there. And then there's a church that you may be familiar with, Lighthouse Baptist Church in Melwood. The reason I'm talking about those two is because in the Delta, in those big rice, soybean farms, our federal government has a policy right now where they're bringing in workers from Romania, from South Africa, and other countries, and they live here. And then after harvest season's over, they go back home. Well, some of those folks are finding their ways into some of our churches and church plants.
Yeah.
So I want a church plant in Arkansas, but even more so the Big K Kingdom, not just the Arkansas Kingdom, if you will. But so what we're trying to do now is begin to train our church plants, and Chance has a heart for this. He started a South African ministry, and there's a guy named Mike Montgomery in Melwood at Lighthouse, and he's got South Africans that work for him. And this guy, he's just a layman farmer, and I don't mean just in a bad way, but he's not been to seminary, he's not been trained he's a farmer. But his thing is more important than rice is leading those guys to the Lord and discipling them so that when they go back to South Africa, they're taking the gospel and looking to start churches. And for the first time at Melwood just this last year, we baptized a South African guy named Peter that found the Lord in a field on a tractor in Arkansas harvesting rice, and now he went home being taught how to share and multiply there.
Wow.
Is that going to show up on our Arkansas books as a church plant? No. But in heaven it will, and that's what we're about with the Great Commission. And so I'm excited. We're focusing with the help of Bit Stevens, Teresa, I should say. We call her Bit. And the BCEM guys to focus on our college campuses because a lot of the internationals are there. And then Tim Wicker's working in Northwest because of Walmart.
Yeah.
You know, to be in a Walmart store, if you're a company, you got to have an office in Bentonville. Well, a lot of internationals are coming in to man those offices, and our church planters up there are very focused on them as well. So.
Wow. And it's not just internationals. We've talked about them, but you mentioned they're passing Cowboy churches.
Yeah.
And in areas where maybe it's not internationals, it's Anglos. And
that's right. That's right.
You know, whether it's in some apartment complexes that are being highlighted or subdivisions. I mean, again, the population is growing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're planting churches. Yeah. Arkansas Baptists are planting churches
to
reach people.
We've got two, back in the old days, we called them house churches. The fancy term now is microchurch, whatever. But we've got two there, and people say, well, why do we need a house church in Arkansas? Well, some of our neighbors will come to my living room for coffee and to watch a ball game with brats and burgers, and then we end up talking about the Bible way before they'll darken the door of a church.
Yeah.
And so we've just got to start thinking in those ways and just following where the Spirit leads us to plant new work.
Yeah. Let's talk replanting for a minute. Mark Clifton says this occurs when a church realizes that it'll close in 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. That's a hard point for a church to get to. Not a hard point to get to, a hard thing for them to come to grips with, to make that declaration that we need help. How does a struggling church begin the replanting process or just begin discussing replanting?
Yeah, so I've got an official process where if they contact me, I'll put them in touch with my buddy Greg Varndell. He's the AMS at North Pulaski Association. Greg has been through some training that the North American Mission Board offers. They offer two tracks on replanting, and he's not the only one. There's a couple of other AMs, Scott up in Conway and Joe Day down in Monticello and some others. They're kind of my champions in the field, if you will, for replanting. Replanting is a little bit different than church planting, but they're kind of kissing cousins, if I can use that terminology, right? We all understand that's difficult. When I go back home to Missouri, where I'm from, and I go see the church I was saved and baptized in, these emotions come over me attached to that place. Again, going back to what I said, every church has a life cycle. Every church will come to a point when it's time to call it a day, right? But we have to be very sensitive and very empathetic in those situations, because those are real places, man. Some you get married in one. Yeah. You bury your grandfather in one. Your kids are baptized, or you have VBS. But we've got to quit associating that structure with what happened. That's with the Lord and the Spirit, and that continues. So there's a couple of things that come with replanting, and we've got tons of books and resources. Greg can even do a training with them. And in certain circumstances, if we can find a planter, pastor that will come to assessment, then we can fund them as if they were a church plant. But it's a little bit of different training, because there are some differences. And then Greg can help determine, instead of replant, we just need to focus on revitalization, which is another different animal. But they're all kind of together, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so Greg's my guy. And that's important to me, because the convention, we don't, like you said, I've said till I'm blue in the face, we don't plant, we don't replant churches. We just facilitate education, provide some funding and resources. And Greg's my guy to do that and to help me figure those things out. So anyway.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's one of the things that, you know, the average Arkansas Baptist, and maybe the average person that listens that's not an Arkansas Baptist, if there is one of those listening, the average, again, is sitting in an established church.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just statistically what has to happen. And so they could be listening going, well, that's not for me. I'm in my church. But I think it is all of us working together planting churches. The average Arkansas Baptist church, church member has a role to play in revitalization.
100%.
What is that?
Well, of course, we know Cooperative Program, Dixie Jackson, Annie Armstrong, Lottie Moon, all those things go to not only people here in Arkansas, but throughout North America and the world to help provide resources. That's important, because you can't pay a light bill without money. You can't buy chairs to sit in without money. You can't, you know, you got to have a place to do a baptism, even if it's a trough. You know, you got to go to the store and buy it. And so we help those guys. A lot of the money that comes through my office, we use those for grants. The funding piece comes through the North American Mission Board through Send Network Arkansas, which is our relationship to them. And I want to be clear that me and my staff are employees of the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, but we work in partnership with NAM, which is a beautiful thing because that defines us as Southern Baptist, yeah. Right? But, you know, we just provide those resources on the field. So we're focusing on providing grants. And then we also help them with training. So we've got about 14 cohorts throughout the year. And we take folks who are getting ready to come to assessment or have passed assessment, getting ready to plant. We train them, we coach them, we mentor them, and get them ready to go. All those resources for that are provided by our churches. And I'm very grateful for that. We, in turn, require that our church plants give a minimum of 6% of their undesignated receipts to the cooperative program and encourage Lottie and Annie and Dixie. Dixie's a big one for us here in Arkansas, as you know. Beyond that, the most important piece, and I do mean this is not lip service, is prayer. And when I say prayer, I'm talking extraordinary hard work prayer for our church planters. They encounter a tremendous amount of spiritual attack, opposition. The enemy is constantly on their backs, and they need to have a church that will stand with them and say, we're going to pray for you. We covenant to pray for you. And in addition to that, short-term mission teams that will say, you know what, we're going to go to this church and we're going to help you clean toilets if we have to, whatever we need to do to help you in the community and do that. And so we work with our church planters to teach them how to be organized, to plan those well, to use them effectively so that if a church does that, they're not sitting around twiddling their thumbs because things aren't ready to go. And we're trying to make that a good experience. And so that's one of them. We talk about the money. God owns, you know, the cows on a, you know, every hill in the world. He owns all the cows, right? But the money helps. And we encourage that, but I just can't stress enough, Clint, the prayer. It's just the most vital piece. And then getting involved. Some of our churches can begin by saying, you know what, we've never helped with a church plant. We've got a small budget, but we can give $100 a month to this church plant, pray for them, and send them a mission team. They can go from that in over a 3 to 5 year period or whatever the Lord leads to then begin to raise up their own people from within their church and send them out as the primary sponsoring church. And we can help transition that. And then we've had 5 churches in Arkansas, at least 5 now, establish church planting residencies where they're raising up the church planters. They're in a very systematic way, training them over a 1 to 2 year period of time at the church level, which is the best training. And we assist with that, and then they send them out. Here's what happens. I go to meetings, and some pastors will come up to me, hey, we'd love to plant a church if you can give us a church planter. Mm-hmm. And I say this very respectfully. I'm not being snide or snarky. That's not my job. The local church is to raise those people up. That's the biblical thing, and we do that through discipleship, and that's in other ways. If they will raise up leaders that they can send out our assessments, and we will join with them and fund them and help plant.
Okay.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if they'll call our office, we will come and sit with them. I'll even buy lunch. I'll turn the receipt into Sam.
All right.
We'll come and buy lunch and sit down and begin to walk that process.
Well, and I think that what I hear is that there's a place for every Arkansas Baptist, every Christian to be involved in church planting.
Absolutely.
Man, one of the best resources, in my opinion, that you guys have is the monthly prayer calendar you put out.
And yeah.
If you're not receiving that, I encourage you to go to the church planning page on our website, and it's babsc.org/church planning. And there's a way for you to sign up to get that every month delivered to your email. And it's great as a prayer tool, but it's also, I love getting it the first of the month and reading through it just to catch up with what's happening.
Absolutely.
Because there's reports in there of how God is blessing and new planters that you guys have in the pipeline. So I think that is huge. Also, you mentioned that of short-term mission trips, both for church plants and for replants. Have several teams going into the Delta this summer to serve. Some going Northwest Arkansas.
Yep,
so,
that's right.
If you're there, maybe you don't have a week to give, but you could give a weekend, or you're a bivocational youth leader and you're taking a vacation to go to camp, but want your students to have a mission trip. Reach out to us and let us identify a place that you could serve here in our state and be a blessing to you and to them. And then that whole discipleship piece of raising up folks and educating the people that you're discipling that That's church right. planting is an option. Again, it may be among a group of professionals that you work with that there's not a church in your area. It could be a people group. I mean, the list goes on and on, the possibilities to get in involved in church planting.
That's right.
And so, again, I think it is a it's a place for all of us just to come to that. And, and share the story. It's in the latest edition of the Arkansas Baptist News, the story of First Baptist Church in Helena.
Yeah.
You know, church with
Amazing
a long
story.
Past, but church due to the declining community and some other factors. But that church had its last service the 1st of April.
Yeah.
There were five people there, I believe.
Yeah, five or seven.
Four that were active or, average attendance in the church at that time. But this past Sunday, through process, that facility was deeded to a new church plant.
Yeah.
And this past Sunday, they met in the building with 50 people,
yeah.
correct?
100%, yeah.
So from five to 50.
Yeah.
And, we never want to celebrate a church closing, but we do want to celebrate a new church starting that's committed to reaching its community. So there's that balance there.
That's right.
And that's the world that you live in.
Yeah.
Church planting is not done at the expense of established churches.
No.
But it's also not a competition between
that's exactly
the
right.
two. There is a place for both. And that's what I want to convey to our listeners.
That's right.
And, I know that's your heartbeat. That's the heartbeat of the convention as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
So, whether God has called you to begin a new work or if you're in an established work, I believe he's called you to support that work because, again, it's kingdom
yeah.
business.
That's right, 100%. And that, I don't know if we have time, but that story was awesome. Johnny McKenzie, who was the lead elder, if you will, at that church, called Bobby Thomas with the foundation and said, we kind of want to close this church. Well, the foundation, can we give this to the convention? And Bobby called me, and I said, man, I'm not taking a building. We're not real estate developers here, but we got in touch with Jarvis Smith at Second Baptist there in West Helena, and they deeded it to him. And in the 70s and 80s at that church, they'd run 800 in worship. But then, as we all know, if you know anything about Helena, in the 90s they went through an economic crash, people left town, and the whole community around that church changed completely.
Yeah.
And it began a process of that church winding down its shelf life, if you will. Mm. And it took some time, but I just applaud those seven people, I think it was 12 total at the beginning, that said, you know what, our day here in this, the way we've been doing it, our day here is over. Let's gift this to someone who now can come in and represent the change community around us. And went from predominantly Anglo to predominantly African-American almost overnight. And now we've got a thriving church in there. Pastor Orrell has not been to assessment yet, but he will in May. And he's going to pass. And then we're going to fund that church. We pray he'll pass. He should be fine. And that's a new work that's continuing there with
yeah.
a resource that was gifted to them by another church. And so even though the people of First Baptist that have been meeting there aren't anymore, they still have an investment going on in that community because Pastor Orrell now is planting on their shoulders.
That's right.
And that legacy is continuing.
Yeah, I mean.
And it's an amazing thing. Only God could do that.
Yeah. That's a different perspective of the life cycle.
That's right.
Every church has a life cycle. At First Baptist didn't necessarily end.
It didn't end.
And so that's a great way to look at that.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, Vince, I want to thank you for joining us today as we wrap up. What would be one big thing that you'd want our listeners to leave here with today?
Well, our world is changing. We know that. If you don't believe that, watch the news. A couple things. We don't plant churches to change politics. We don't plant churches to change schools. We don't plant churches to lower crime or any of that. We plant churches to bring the gospel to people, to make disciples, as Matthew and other places tell us. And it's hard work. It's dirty work. It's sometimes scary work. And I guess my prayer would be this, that God, I've got more funding available through Sin Network for church planting than I have planters. People ask me, where's the need? I'm telling you, and they don't like this answer, but you can stand in front of a map of Arkansas, close your eyes like you're playing pin the tail on the donkey, and then just point somewhere, and I promise you there's a need for a church. Please pray that the Lord of the harvest will send us workers, and that the Lord will also raise up churches to say, you know what, maybe we've never planted, we want to start to work in that direction, or it's been 10 years since we planted, or look in your own history, when was your church planted? You know what I mean? Yeah. It's time to plant again, and that's the only way we're going to reach Arkansas or the world.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah,
it's not through the voting booth, and I have my own opinion on politics. I don't share them with anybody, but those things are not going to deliver the world. It's the gospel through and God's chosen vehicle is the church.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to be about.
That's right.
So, and pray for my planters.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hope you have enjoyed today's episode. If you want to continue this discussion with Vince on how you can fit in, I would encourage you to reach out to him. Again, you can find all that on our website. You can email us at missionize@absc.org, and we will be sure that he gets any communication that's directed toward him.
That's right.
And as always, if you find this beneficial, we would encourage you to leave us a review or rate the podcast, and hope you'll join us in two more weeks as we got some couple good guests coming up, and look forward to sharing that with you. So, Vince, thank you again for your time.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks for joining the Missions Guys today. If you liked what you heard, rate and review us on your favorite podcasting platform. And to keep up with what is happening in Arkansas missions, visit absc.org/missions.